Canto 5, chapter 3, text number 11. No border. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Asanga Nishita Gyana Nala Pitu Tashesha Malanam Bhavat Swabhavanam Atmaramanam Muninam Anvat Vrata Pratigunita Gunagana Parama Mangalaya Lalayana Guna Guna Katano Si. Please repeat. Asanga. By detachment. Nishita, strengthened, jnana, of knowledge, anala, by the fire, vidhuta, removed, ashesha, unlimited, malanam, whose dirty things, bhavat svabhavanam, who have attained your qualities, Atma Aramanam, who are self-satisfied. Muninam, of great sages. Anavarata, incessantly. Parigunita, recounted. Gunagana, O Lord, whose spiritual qualities. Parama Mangala, supreme bliss, Ayana, produces, Gunagana Katana, he, the chanting of, whose attributes, Asi, you are. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace. Abhay Charanaravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Dear Lord, all the great sages who are thoughtful and saintly and saintly persons incessantly recount your spiritual qualities. These sages have already burned up all the unlimited dirty things and, by the fire of knowledge, strengthened with their detachment from the material world, thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. Yet, even for those who feel spiritual bliss in chanting your attributes, your personal presence is very rare. Please repeat. Dear Lord, all the great sages who are thoughtful and saintly persons incessantly recount your spiritual qualities. These sages have already burned up all the unlimited dirty things. And by the fire of knowledge, strengthen their detachment from the material world. Thus they have attained your qualities and are self-satisfied. Even for those who feel spiritual bliss in chanting your attributes, your personal presence is very rare. Purport. The priests in Maharaj Nabi's sacrificial arena appreciated the personal presence of the Supreme Lord Vishnu, and they considered themselves very much obliged. The Lord's appearance is rare even for great saintly persons who have become completely detached from this material world and whose hearts are clean due to constantly chanting the glories of the Lord. Such persons are satisfied by chanting the transcendental qualities of the Lord. The Lord's personal presence is not actually required. The priests are pointing out that the Lord's personal presence is very rare, even for such elevated sages. But he was so kind to them that now he was personally present, and therefore the priests were very much obliged. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakaya Takshuran Militandina Tasmay Shri Gravina Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garatha Shivashari Gaurabhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 So the priests are offering prayers to Lord Vishnu, who has appeared before them in the sacrificial arena. And one of the things they are saying that these saintly persons who have completely purified their hearts by knowledge and detachment, by devotion, they've attained to your qualities and are self-satisfied. So Krishna is speaking this in Bhagavad Gita, that how the self-satisfied person, Brahma Bhuta, Prashanatma, they're self-satisfied. They've attained to this, the quality of the Lord. The Lord is Brahman, Sat-Chitananda, Sat is Brahman. The living entity is also Brahman. Kim tat Brahman, kim adi atma? Krishna, Arjuna asks Krishna, what is Brahman? What is the self? And Krishna says the living entity is Brahman. But Krishna is the power Brahman. So these sages have attained the same quality of the Lord as Brahman. And the eternal nature is called the self. The living entity is Brahman, and his eternal nature is called the self. So self-realization means to understand one's eternal nature as Brahman. And that Brahman is the same as Krishna. So when you know yourself, you know Krishna. At least you know the aspect of eternality, or the Brahman aspect of Krishna. So these great saintly persons, they're self-realized. They're perfectly clean. Clean their hearts. So Brahma Bhuta Prashanath, they're already on the Brahman platform. Why? Because they've cleaned their hearts. Cheto Darpana Majanam. Mahaprabhu's movement begins at this point. Cheto Darpana Majanam. Come to the Brahman platform. Then you can serve these Parabrahman. So cleanse the heart by the process of chanting Hare Krishna. But this is actual sambandha. You made a connection now with Brahman, with spirit. That is your identity. So that is your actual sambandha. So these sages, they're saying they've connected to the Lord, they've attained the Lord's qualities, and they're completely self-satisfied. Feeling the Lord's closeness. When we do the, you see them when they're doing the fire jagannas and they're doing the avahan, they're calling the deity. Oh, it means, one of these mudras means, please show your closeness. Please manifest your closeness, O Lord. So like that, this is what they're experiencing. They're experiencing the presence of the Lord. As Prabhupada says in the purport, that these persons, they're feeling the presence of the Lord. Such people are satisfied by chanting the transcendental qualities of the Lord. For these people, it is the Lord's personal presence is not actually required. It's not actually required because they're with the Lord. They're feeling the Lord all the time. This is Nama realization when you're chanting Hare Krishna. The first realization is Nama. You feel the presence of the Lord all the time when you're chanting, and He's present in His holy name. So they're feeling that the Lord is like He's sitting by their side. So here it says, although it's not really, the personal presence is not actually required because they're feeling His presence anyway. But the idea is here, they're kind of explaining Shantaras. But it's natural for the living entity actually to want to see the Lord. That is natural. I really want to see you, my sweet Lord. But it takes so long. Prabhupada said, no, it doesn't take so long actually. When he heard the song, it doesn't take so long. But that feeling that you want to see the Lord is natural for a devotee in Dasaras. You know, or Vatsalaras, or Shakiras, or Padutiras, because you want to serve the Lord. You want to see the Lord. You want to see and take part in the activities of serving the Lord. But the Shanta Bhaktas, they call them Bhaktas. There's hardly any Bhakti there actually. They're satisfied just being in the presence of the Lord. So, although they're knowledgeable, now the Lord's appeared before them. The priests are actually condemning themselves a little bit here. We're foolish, we're unintelligent. Because you're we've actually been advised, but the Yajaman is a king. The king's performing this sacrifice. We're simply priests. We've been called to do the function. But we're very, very less intelligent because what we're doing, the king wants, he wants a son. He could ask to see the personal presence of the Lord, which is very, very rare, it's being stated here. But he didn't do that. You perform the sacrifice and please Vishnu that I may get a son. It's like going to Mr. Beeler and saying, can you give me 100 rupees donation? You know, he can give a few million dollars, but give me 100. So you're calling Vishnu. If you're going to call Vishnu the Supreme Lord, why not ask him for the best thing? I want to see you. I want your service. I want to, your association. Why not ask him? So in other words, they're saying we're foolish, we're ignorant. We're simply calling you, come and perform a ritualist activity. The cats and dogs are having children. Oh, please give me a son. Not a big thing. So why, if you're going to call the Lord, you ask for the greatest thing, benediction. If you're going to that trouble to worship the Lord and serve the Lord. So the priests, they have knowledge. They're saying, you know, we've been employed actually by the king to do this because he wants his materialistic desire to be fulfilled. So he's the priests are lamenting and understanding their ignorance. So but this is the kindness of the Lord, that He's appearing. More or less out of curiosity. I'll go and have a look at this, what sacrifice they're doing. They're calling us. It was more or less out of sacrifice because there wasn't really so much bhakti there. And Krishna says, I know, it's bhakti that attracts me. He's a big king. King of the world, you know. Anyway, out of curiosity, I'll go and have a look. So it wasn't though. Krishna generally, when he appears, he's actually forced to appear by his devotees' devotion. That's generally the reason. He wants to please his devotees, serve his devotees. The devotees are in feeling separation from Krishna. They're in the material world. Krishna's not here. So then Krishna, I'll come and satisfy my devotees because. So he's kind of obliged to come. or he is, he's forced to come actually by his devotees' devotion, and they're longing to be with him and see him and see his pastimes. And the Vedic ritualistic sacrifice, he's not obliged to come. He appears generally in the fire. It's not that he doesn't appear, he's obligated to appear. He will definitely appear because you follow the rules. You do like this, like this, like this, and swaha, 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 Krishna will appear. He does appear in the flame. That is, Vishnu appears as the fire. And if he doesn't appear, then that means he's a fool. Because he spoke the Vedas, he spoke the system of sacrifice. If you do this, I'll appear. I'll eat the sacrificial offerings. My fire is my tongue. It's my tongue. Your offering, I'll eat all that. I'm obligated to. If I don't come, then I'm a fool. Because I wrote the Vedas. I inspired the Vedas. And it says, if you do this and do this, you get this result. Now you're doing it. If I don't come as a sacrificial fire, then I'm a fool. Why did I speak that? And it is not happening. So I'm not a fool. I spoke it. You're following all the rules and regulations. Therefore, I'm obligated to come. But I'll come in the form of fire, and I'll eat the offerings. And sometimes Vishnu, out of his kindness, then he also manifests his form. Here is more or less out of curiosity. Other times when great kings who have real devotion, then Krishna also manifests himself personally as he's doing in his Vishnumurti form. So, another important point here in this section is how it says in yesterday's purport, Lord Vishnu's appearance at the sacrificial arena of Maharaj Nabi was just to please the king and his assistants. Otherwise, there was no reason for his being present there. So here, he's saying that the only reason he's appearing actually is for the pleasure of King Nabi. He wanted to please the king. He was a king. He has to perform sacrifice. He has to have a son anyway. And he does want a good son. He wants one like Krishna, which is impossible. But at least he wants a son like Krishna, so he's pious and he's performing. So, Vishnu is appearing for the pleasure of his devotees, not for Krishna's pleasure. This is an important point in our philosophy. Bahusham, it is the Vedic aphorism. That God is one and he becomes many. Next question, why does he become many? For his pleasure. So this is the purpose of life. Pleasure. Krishna's pleasure. My pleasure. Krishna says. So, this is the only reason he came to please Nabai. He wanted to do this jagat, so I'm going to come to please him. Otherwise, there was no reason for Krishna to be present there. So this is the significance of Krishna's appearances. It's for his devotees' pleasure. It's not for his pleasure. Of course, God is always enjoying whatever he does, wherever he goes. He always has a good time. But his appearance is to please his devotees. And this is revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his Ratiyatra Leela with Lord Jagannath on the Rat, and Mahaprabhu was enacting his different pastimes of Radharani and offering prayers in the mood of Srimati Radharani, sometimes Krishna. But he was revealing there how the gopis were requesting, Krishna, you please come back to Vrindavan. We want to see you in Vrindavan. And Krishna, he's saying that that part, I can't exactly remember the exact part. But anyway, he's saying that, no, it's not that I've forgotten all you gopis. In fact, you know, I'm crying day and night in separation from you all. No one knows how unhappy this makes me. But the only reason I'm here with the in Dwarka, the only reason I'm here is to give pleasure to the Jadu dynasty. My pleasure is with you. I never want to leave. Somehow or another circumstance I'm forced to leave. And now I'm living in Dwarka with my relatives, the Jadu dynasty. They recognize me as one of their their clan. I'm their cousin, their brothers. And so we're an intimate family. We're a clan. And they want me to be there. I'm part of the clan. I was born of Devaki, and so they know me as the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. They want to be with me. So that's the only reason I'm there, to bring them pleasure. Not for my pleasure. Where is Krishna's pleasure? Yes, in Vrindavan. That's why Krishna never takes one step outside of Vrindavan. You don't need to. God's business is pleasure. Where is his pleasure? It's in Vrindavan. Why he would leave? That is his pleasure. And so the devotees want to keep Krishna in Vrindavan. Nakura took Krishna from Vrindavan. He was cursed. Yashoda and probably all the inhabitants of Vrindavan cursed him. That is why he had to leave Dwarka during the Shaimantaka Leela. He had that Shaimantaka jewel. He was trying to hide it. But because of that, he had to leave Dwarka and live in Benares, I think, for Kashi for a long, long time. That means bereft of Krishna's association. This was the result of his taking part in that conspiracy to get the Shaimantaka jewel. So this is the last thing a devotee would want to do, is to take Krishna out of Vrindavan. I mean, real devotee, pure devotee, unalloyed devotee, Prabhupada. Prabhupada makes a distinction, pure devotee and unalloyed devotee. Unalloyed devotees are those devotees in Vrindavan. Oh, so there's other devotees. Krishna leaves Vrindavan. And performs his pastimes with Vasudev. For the pleasure of the Vrishni and Jadu dynasties. Anytime Krishna leaves, when he becomes Ramchandra, when he becomes Vishnu, Lord of Vaikuntha, it's for his devotees who want to serve him in that mood. Krishna has no need to change his body. Why he wants to change? He's happy as a sand boy or a forest boy, you say. Yes, that's his happiness, yes. But some devotees want to serve him as the great God, Narayan, the Lord of all. So, okay, to please my devotees, and he leaves, he comes out. So all these unlimited forms of the Lord, he manifests them to please his devotees, to satisfy his devotees. But Krishna himself, his real pleasure is there in Vrindavan. And therefore he never leaves Vrindavan. Although apparently he appears to leave. So this is unalloyed devotee, Prabhupada says. They only want Krishna's pleasure. Where is Krishna's greatest pleasure? In Vrindavan. Which aspect of his Vrindavan leader is the greatest? His relationship with Srimati Radharani and the Gopis. So she is the greatest pleasure giver of Krishna. Panagamaguru. Why is he? We know that Krishna actually never leaves. He never leaves Vrindavan, but his apparent leaving creates a situation of vipralambra, of separation. And Krishna's actually enjoying seeing the intensity of his love for him. Is astonishing for Krishna. So he's actually there in Vrindavan, but what do you say, in above form, in above murti, like he's invisible. They think he's gone. But he's there, actually he never leaves Vrindavan. And Krishna, in the same Gauranga's Leela with Jagannath, he reveals that. He said, I'm always coming. You're saying I'm living away from you, but I always come. Every Purnima I come, we have Ras Leela. You don't remember? I'm always coming and performing pastimes. But you're so absorbed in me, you're 24 hours a day absorbed in me, and always remembering my pastimes. You see the full moon, we have said that the Rasa dance with Krishna, and you are just simply absorbed in that. He said, actually that was real. But when it's over, you think, I was just dreaming, it was just remembering the pastime. But Krishna says, no, they were actually real. I was there. But because you're always thinking of me in these pastimes, you couldn't distinguish when I was there and when I'm not there. But I'm there, I'm always there with you. I always come and perform your pastimes, although you think I'm separated. So he is always there. What was it? The second part?
It just seems a little cruel, in a sense, because the devotees are suffering so much. Some of them are actually leaving their bodies because they're suffering so much. The anxiety is so intense. So how is it that Krishna justifies this treatment of his devotees?
He has them
completely bewildered. They don't know whether they're dreaming or reality, what's reality. It's a very playful mood, but a little, you might even say, sadistic.
That in the Nabarita Mahabharata is described in the Madhuma Dudipa, for Sitaram there. They came here when they were in exile. So, one day Ram was sitting there in Godram, he was smiling, and Sita said, why are you smiling? And he said, well, in the Kali Yuga, I'm going to appear here in a golden form. I'm thinking of those pastimes in the future. And in this golden form, then I'll take sannyas, and I'll leave my mother and my wife to cry forever. And Sita said, well, why do you want to do that? Why do you want to make your mother and your young wife, because she is the wife, she'll be the wife. Why do you want to make your mother and your young wife cry forever? What pleasure will you get from this? So then Ramchandra said that, oh, Mother Sita, you are the primeval energy. You know everything, actually. You are Yogamaya. You know everything. But I'll repeat. And then he talks of Shambhoga and Vipralamba, separation and union. How my devotees are experiencing this separation and union. So when I separate myself from, they go into this state of Vipralamba, and their love for me, their love in union is, there's nothing greater than that. But when the separation is there, that longing to be with your lover, it enhances that love, that natural love they have millions of more times than the Sambhoga, because it's intensified. My lover is not present. So this simply intensifies their love for me more and more. This is why I leave and I create this separation, so-called separation, because it intensifies the love of my devotees for me. In the poets, material poets, who speak of love, this is the they understand. From Radha and Krishna. Everything comes from Radha and Krishna. So they understand it. Now in poets, when they write a love song, it's never a husband and wife love story. It doesn't happen. Husband and wife love story. No, it's always the lover and there's an object between them. There's some separation. They cannot be together. Romeo and Juliet. West Side Story for you. It's an American. He knows. You belong to a different clan, and so she stopped from going to them. The husband stopped Romeo and Juliet meeting. There has to be some obstruction. That is love, according to the poets, because it's intensified. I love someone, but I can't get to them. So the love is intensifying more and more. So Krishna does this. And after that, as Krishna did in the when he disappeared from the Rasa arena, and then finally he came back. Again, they were criticizing him, so many reasons. But after a little while, they all suddenly realized that Krishna was sitting there smiling, and they were, what actually happened? we've been bewildered by what's been happening, but one thing we know for certain, that our love for Krishna has increased so much more because of this episode of separating from us during the Rasa year and the union again. But this is what we can understand. Our love has increased so much more for Krishna. And Krishna seems to be sitting there smiling, performing his leela to make his devotees even more attached to him.
So one other question. Is this happening in the spiritual world also, in Goloka Vrindavan? Is that separation going on?
Yeah, the separation is Krishna walks along and he walks behind the tree and the boys count, where's Krishna? They faint. They didn't see Krishna because he walked behind the tree for a moment. And, of course, when Radha and Krishna have to leave each other in the to go back before the sun rises, they have to go back home, there's separation, they're longing to be together, but they're forced to go home. Otherwise, Jatila is going to wake up and Jasoda is away. Krishna's not in his room, Radharani's not in his room. So they got to be back, otherwise so much suspicion will be created. Again, midday they meet at Radha Kunda. Again, the sun's starting to go down. They got all the cows and calves. They got to take them back for milking. But they only want to be together at Radha Kunda. There's no superior conception of their loving affairs than in Radha Kunda. But it's being torn apart. It's the last thing they want to do. Even his God is the last thing he wants to do. But still he's dragged apart. As the Yogamaya is contriving all this. It's not that God says, no, I want, I'll be with Radharani 24 hours a day for the rest of eternity. That's what they want, but it's not like that. To increase that attraction, to increase the rasa, then there's all these different aspects. They have to be separated. Krishna has to get the calves back. They have to milk the cows. Oh, they're torn apart, but they're longing to be together. Okay, we'll meet again tonight, somehow or another. So again, the union and the sambhog and separation. This is the picture of Vrindavan. This is what is happening there. Sambhoga. Everyone's making program. Unite Radha and Krishna. Vrindadevi there, sending the messenger Pariyat. So different messages going here and there, where they're going to meet, where the rendezvous, some pastime will be there. All the planning is going on. Bringing Radha and Krishna together. They come and they perform their pastime. And then again, the separation. And then again, again meeting, making programs. So this is the picture of Vrindavan. Bringing Radha and Krishna together and then separating them. Bringing them together and separating them. That is Vrindavan. So that's the way it's contrived of by Krishna's supreme energy, Yogamaya. His internal potency, his pleasure potency. To bring him maximum happiness. Ajamil Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Just to elucidate more on what you say, to confirm what you say, it's not a question, it's just an additional comment, is that we find in the material world that there are sayings like absence makes the heart grow fonder. And also Srila Prabhupada quotes in one place that familiarity breeds contempt. So, you know, and we also have the example of Krishna in the Rasa dance, where the gopis became a little bit proud that Krishna was there, and then Krishna disappeared. And so that's like a transcendental way of looking at the familiarity breeds contempt. The gopis were a little bit too familiar with Krishna, so Krishna disappeared. And then their intense feelings for separation, which is described as kind of like Ganagami Prabhu was saying, is it's like almost like agony. It's like agonizing feelings of separation, and it even makes like Krishna look a little bit cruel, as he was also saying. But of course, in the spiritual world, it's a everything takes on a transcendental perspective there. The other thing also, we can also learn from this how within the material realm, how there's a problem, within ISKCON and also with outside of ISKCON of husband and wife staying together.
Huh?
Of husband and wife staying together as they should. There is one place where Srila Prabhupada mentions that if the husband and wife take a little break from each other, then the absence, he didn't say absence makes the heart grow fonder, but just so that they can not become too familiar with each other, whereas they breed contempt and then they separate and they argue and all that kind of thing. Anyway, that's just another offshoot type of comment.
Yeah, there's another saying, in English at least, love is so much nicer the second time around.
say that again.
Love is so much nicer the second time around. Because you learned your lesson, you won't do the same thing again to be separated.
As we're making comments, Picasso said that love can only last for so long. Therefore, if there's different times of separation, then it lasts longer. Of course, in the spiritual world, we don't have that problem. It lasts eternally.
Any other question? Shrima Bhagavatam ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shama Veta Bhakta Bindaki, Nitai Go Premanandi.